At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
Okay, Pressing Matters on a Tuesday, and the big news yesterday that Caelan Ponga is out for, well, at least 3 months, possibly longer. And here's Adam O'Brien having a chat about, I guess, his team's struggle with expectations this season.
We're playing like a frustrated footy team. You're looking at some of the teams, and the Bulldogs are a good example. Dragons are a good example of not having great seasons last year, and they're loving footy at the moment and loving being in the grind and going after stuff. So, because that level of expectation is not there, well, we're not enjoying it at the moment because the expectation is we played well last year. So we've got to get back to finding our love of the game, and in particular certain parts of it, and start seeing that as fun about as much as what some of the teams that are doing at the moment up the top end of the ladder.
Yeah, that was post the loss to the Bulldogs on Sunday. Interesting comments. We got to refind our love of the game. And you'd think they would have came in loving the game after what they did at the back end of last year. But new season and new results, even with Caelan Ponga now there without him. Just want to put this to bed firstly, Loz. Adam O'Brien's been heavily criticised for allowing Ponga to play on the weekend with the hip pointer injury that he had the week before. Some people suggesting he was hobbling on the field at the start of the game, was really struggling in the warm-up as well. I mean, your medical staff, you get together and you make a decision. Your players obviously involved in that there. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of players play injured. So should Caelan Ponga have played in the first place?
Oh, hindsight's always wonderful when you look back on it. But Caelan would have been consulted on it. There's no doubt that they would have said, what do you think? You reckon you can get through this game? It's an important game for us. And the outcome is you're not going to do any more serious damage. So Caelan probably would have thought, well, I'm the captain of this club. I've got to show what this group is looking for, and that's to be tenacious. It's being tough. It's to push through injury. And as a leader, I'm going to show those actions today. So that would have been him, and that would have been the discussions that with the medical staff. So I've got no issue with the hip pointer going out there and playing. Then as the game unfolds and you start to watch him, that's when it's a concern as a coach, because you know that he can't do the job as good as what you would have liked. So then you come back to, well, have I made the right decision here? Or two, when did he pick up that foot injury and it was just a freakish thing that's happened on top of the hip pointer? He's picked up that Liz Frank injury. He might have picked it up after 10 minutes, and that's why he was struggling for the rest of that first half. So I'd like to actually know when he did it. But I've got no issue with a player or the coach having those discussions about, you know what, I think I can get through this, and you're a senior player, putting it in your hands.
You do, as a coach, you do trust your senior players and their knowledge of their own body, because they've done the miles. They've got miles in their legs. They've had the experiences. I must admit, watching Ponga pull up the week before with the hip injury on the pitch, I'm looking at him going, like, I could feel the injury myself. I had some hip issues myself, and I'm thinking, that looks to me like it'll be at least a couple of weeks, and not necessarily from being re-injuring it or anything, but once you hit fatigue, you know, it's like, Loz, you're coming back from an injury, once you fatigue that area of your body, like, you're more susceptible to either losing power, re-injuring. I'm sure the medical staff said he's not playing if he can re-injure it or make it worse, but he would have lost power.
But I look at, like, the week before's game. He struggled up until half time. Was it the Roosters they played?
Yeah.
And then in the second half,
he had his
moments where he was struggling, but he injected himself into the game and was still able to make a difference and nearly won them the game at the end. So I reckon that they've sat down, they've spoken about it. Well, we'll get needled. You can go out there and play. You'll play in discomfort, but we'll need you. And if you think you can get through, and handle the pain, we're happy enough to take that risk on the back of what they did the previous week.
Yeah, I
reckon that would have been the way that the discussion went.
So Newcastle now, names thrown up, and we'll see their team sheet naturally later this afternoon. But Dane Gagai's thrown into the mix to play fullback. English recruit Will Price. New South Wales Cup player David Armstrong as well in the mix. He's from Mungindi, which is right on the New South Wales-Queensland border, way out towards Lightning Ridge. David Armstrong, wonder what Adam O'Brien does here, Loz, as far as the number one jersey.
Well, it sounds like he's got some options, but one thing I would consider is, do you move a player from one position to try and strengthen one and weaken another? So, and I'm talking about Dane Gagai there. And Gagai's coming off a calf injury. So I don't know whether he would have the K's in his legs to play fullback. So if it's me, I'm going with the guy that's playing fullback regularly. Mm-hmm. And if that's David Armstrong, well, again, I haven't seen enough of David Armstrong to give you a strong opinion. I've seen little bits and pieces of him, and I've heard plenty of people talk about him. And in fact, I think we've been text message on this show a number of times about Armstrong. So I'd be prepared to give him a go, because I think you need someone that's fit, someone that's fast, and someone that's really able to inject themselves into the game. And I know he hasn't played a lot of NRL football, but I'd be sort of leaning down that path. Someone that's played in that position, someone that's fast, someone that's got the K's in their legs, and give them an opportunity.
On the text line, just some Knights texts. Morning, boys. Well, now that Kalyn Pong is out, we will see just how good of a coach Adam O'Brien is. I'm guessing they won't win many games because they lose the ruck speed every week and get stuck into the front rowers, does Ben on that text message as well. Loz, the last 2 weeks, the Knights have really missed Frizzell and Gagai. The other thing, okay, no, not so really that one.
One thing about last weekend's game, when they played the Bulldogs, when Patolo went off for the Dogs, I thought the Bulldogs were going to get exposed in the middle, because they had at times like three really small forwards on the field. And I reckon one of the strengths of Newcastle is their forward pack. And in fact, Phoenix Crossland, when he played in the back row, he was the one that was making some good yardage through the middle. And I just thought they should have centralised their attack a bit more. And I'm just wondering now, without Ponga, that's what they should be doing. Just pouring through the middle, because that's where their strength will be. You know, you've got the Saifidi brothers, you've got Adam Elliott. You know, you've got Frizzell when he comes back. Their forward pack is still very strong. So I'd be looking to simplify it and just go, boys, we need to gain momentum through the middle, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to get a bit of ruck speed. Once we get that ruck speed, then we can look to go to the shape on the edges. But until we do that, we're going to play a very basic game. If we get no ruck speed, let's get to a kick. Let's put some pressure on them down their end of the field, and let's work really hard early in the tackle counts to see whether we can force an error, can press up in defence, whatever you come up with. But just keep it really simple and build off the back of good momentum through the middle.
And more text here. As a Knights fan, I'm disappointed that he did play. That's Ponga. Everybody knew he was injured. Adam O'Brien's not the answer in coaching the Knights. There are serious questions about the way the club is being run, says Tony. Hey, lads, David Armstrong hopefully comes in for Ponga. He is like a Pappenhausen-style player, very fast and skillful. Mungindi, sorry. I pronounced it wrong. I think I said Mungindi. Mungindi. Apologies. Thank you for the phonetics on that one. And g'day to also someone, is it Gove or Gov in the Northern Territory?
Isn't it? Gove?
Thank you, Nick, for sending it in to where you are there in the NT.
Is it Gove?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'll be corrected. I know that.
Mossy, help me out.
Middo's confidence.
He's rattled.
He's confident.
Just have a stab and just go with it.
Early.
Pick and stick, mate. Pick and stick.
Okay, let's have a listen now to Ariane Titmus, Olympic gold medalist, on, well, this situation where Chinese swimmers were not provisionally suspended after testing positive leading into the Tokyo Games and then cleared. It was all covered up and it's come out now, courtesy of the media. Unbelievable. Here's Ariane Titmus.
If that is the case, I mean, I'd end up with two gold, two silver. Wouldn't have the full set anymore. But at the end of the day, I think we'll wait to hear the details and hear more about it. I think it's still quite raw. But, you know, every time you race, you just hope you're racing people that are in the same boat as you and they've worked as hard as they can to get to that position in a fair manner. And so I hope it's like that in Paris as well.
That audio courtesy of Channel 9 and Mac Horton has come out as well, naturally, and he took the stand with Sun Yang when he got off the podium, when they shared the podium as well in a couple of their events. And you do wonder, it's going to be one to watch at the Games in Paris. Well, it could be interesting when Chinese swimmers win gold medals, particularly if some of these Chinese swimmers, you know, their names who tested positive come out and they win a medal. Particularly if it's gold, and what the other athletes will do. Because this is, this, I mean, could this have a bigger stench?
No, I don't think so. Like, as an athlete, particularly in Olympic year, you want to look forward. And the timing of this coming out as well, like, because you want to put the past in the past. But ultimately, like as Ariane said then, you want to be lining up on the blocks knowing that the other athletes have done just, you know, normal, honest, hard work to be where they are against you. And then you find out something like this. I mean, this is a stain on world sport in any code. Like, it's shocking. Absolutely shocking.
But, you know, I know you can't trust nations when they're doing their drug tests. Certain nations. Because you just don't know what is happening in their countries. But one thing we've come to learn or expect is WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association, to do it correctly and to have no cover-ups and be transparent with everyone. That's what you hope, and that's where you build trust in these organisations for big events and all events around the world. Mm. It sounds like they are the ones that are hiding it. China's not hiding it.
No. Yeah, they've not... Well, they should now publicly reveal what's happened.
Yeah.
So they should WADA make the information the public.
That we should be looking at now.
Without a doubt. Yeah. They've just covered it up.
Well, that's what it looks like.
And they're the World Anti-Doping Authority.
Mate, they are in charge of it.
Every athlete relies on to ensure that competitions are clean.
That's where I have the issue now. Because I'm seeing them as the body that overrides everyone and looks into things that are happening. And if you're doping, then you're going to get found out and we'll call you out. On this occasion, they've just sort of gone, this is in the too hard basket. We'll turn a blind eye here and we'll move on. No one needs to know. I find that disturbing.
Okay, some football. Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag. It's been a season, but they are in the FA Cup final. Just. And here's what he had to say on the reactions of United fans after their, well, escape against Coventry City on penalties in the semi-final at Wembley.
No, I don't. I can't see that word. Because in the end of the day, it's about the achievement. And yeah, I see the mistakes we make. We can't look away from it. But it's not an embarrassment. It's, as I say, it's a huge achievement. So even a big team from United... from a decade ago, they only achieved the final three times. We now two times in 2 years. So that's a good performance.
I suppose the coach has always got to take the glass half full approach, don't you, Mossy?
Yeah, but you also can't treat your supporters like mugs. I mean, at the end of the day, they were 3-0 up and they allowed a team that is a long way behind them in the pecking order to come back to 3-3. And I'm not just talking about in their own competition. I'm talking about leagues below them. I just think you've got to be honest, you know. And I don't think Ten Hag is. I'm not a fan. I don't think. Look, and I don't want to make this personal against Ten Hag at all. I don't know the guy from Bar of Soap, right? But I'm just talking about the fit for Manchester United. I think the manager of a Manchester United has to have charisma as well as, you know, the ability to coach, et cetera, et cetera. But I watched some of that stuff yesterday morning and I thought, this is this sums up their season, and it sums up the poor quality of their squad. Like they have got some poor players for a club like Manchester United. Let's give it relevance and where they should be in world football. They have got poor players playing for that club, and I think Ten Hag is, you know, his last line there about the performance. He's letting a result achieving FA Cup final status against Manchester City. He's letting a result mask what the bigger issues are. And it's not just the quality of the players. It's the culture of the place. It's everything that goes with it. So, yeah, how would I answer those questions in Ten Hag's seat? I don't know because I've never been there. It's, you know, the white-hot heat of the A-League is very different to the white-hot heat of the Premier League and the FA Cup semi-finals. But, I just think there's some big, big issues there.
Every week this segment's supposed to go for 10 minutes and it goes for 20.